Amen. Well, turn in your Bibles, if you will, to the book of Romans, chapter 13. Romans, chapter 13. And let's be in prayer, if you will, for the Adam Koskis, Jeremy and Monique. They have traveled up to Wilkes-Barre this weekend to help Brother Jeremy's sister-in-law move in. She, of course, is the one who lost her husband last year. And she had moved to Houston, Texas for just a short period of time. She has moved to Wilkes-Barre now, bought a house there. And the U-Haul arrived sometime late last night or early this morning. And so they were heading up there. They're going to go to church there at Pastor Kronk's church in Wilkes-Barre, help unload that truck. And then they'll be heading back down, I believe, this evening. So let's be in prayer for them as they're traveling. A little over 2 hours, I guess 2.5 hours up there. And so let's pray that the Lord would just keep them safe to and from there and while they're unloading that truck for them. But Romans chapter 13, verse 1 through 4, and it's amazing how the Lord worked everything out. Again, Brother Sean had no idea what I was preaching on today and teaching on, and we're going to be talking about what does the Bible say about going to war? And we just sang that song, Sound the Battle Cry, amen? And we are in a fight, aren't we? And the Bible says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, and but we are in a battle. And there is a lot of things that we are going to deal with, questions that are going to come, and we need to know what the Bible says about these things, whether they are small things in our minds or large things or whatever. The Bible has something to say about these issues. And so here in Romans chapter 13, verse 1 through 4, the Bible says this, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have the praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good, but if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil." You know, there are some things on the surface, and this issue of going to war is one of these things. They sound like something small. They sound like something, well, everyone would be on the same page about this. If someone attacks America, well, of course, we're going to go to war. But the truth is, not everyone is on the same page about this. And there is a lot of people who are well-meaning people. They're good-meaning people. And they truthfully believe, well, you shouldn't go to war. And we're going to discuss some of those things today. We should learn about these things. We should preach about these things because many people will get caught up on and get confused about the reality of war. And I have heard some people that are well-meaning, they've got great hearts, and they would stand before people and they would preach the fact that a believer should not be enlisted in the military. They have preached that. I don't believe that to be true. Some people think that, though, and it's their prerogative to think that way. It doesn't mean that it's the right conclusion. I could say that, it's a believer's job just to sit on their hands and do nothing. Well, it's my prerogative to think that. It doesn't mean that it's right. But anyone can think what they want to think. But the truth is this. It doesn't matter what our opinion is. It matters what the Bible says. It doesn't matter what we think the Bible says. It's this is what God's word says. Therefore, that is what we need to follow. You know, there's a lot of people who have an opinion about how to get to heaven. It doesn't mean their opinion's right. If someone says, well, as long as I go to church my whole life, I'll go to heaven. Well, we know that that's not true. The Bible says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It doesn't matter what they believe or what they think or something like that. It's no, it's trusting in Christ. An opinion will make you wind up in hell. But God's word will tell you the truth. It's something that is solid. It is secure. The Bible says that forever it is settled in heaven. I want you to look at the book of 1 Peter, if you will. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 13 and 14. 1 Peter 2, verse 13 and 14. Notice the Bible says this, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. As we read these passages here and back in the book of Romans as well, in Romans 13, it talks about how someone beareth not the sword in vain. Well, if someone can bear a sword, and there's a way to bear a sword a right way and bear a sword in vain, well, then obviously there is a truth from God's word in which tells us when it's okay to bear the sword in God's way or whether we are to bear it in what is vain. The Bible tells us one or the other. There is a right way to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, and there is a wrong way to do it as well. It may be the exact same verses that are going forth, but we are to speak the truth in love, and if we are not doing that, we may be bearing the sword, if you will, but we're doing it the wrong way. You see, when it comes to serving in the military and going to war and those types of things, the Bible says that there is a right way and there is a wrong way, and that's what we're going to discuss today. We know God speaks of war. A man by the name of W.T. Sherman, he was a Union leader who led the march to the sea, and he was known for saying this, that war is like hell on earth. That's what he said. Well, he may say that, and in some aspects, he's talking about pain and all those types of things. But the truth is this, war is nothing in comparison to hell. It's nothing. Yes, there's pain and torment and those things, but war is not for eternity, but hell is. We know that that war is something. Of course, it's not a good experience, and sometimes it's necessary, yes, but it's not pleasant. I want you to note this, the European Union, the European nations, they have entered in over 8,000 peace treaties. Now, wait a second. There's not 8,000 nations represented in the European nations, but yet they keep going into these peace treaties. Every one of them was intended to be permanent. You know, hardly any of them lasted more than 2 years. Why? Because war is a real thing. Because mankind is going to go to war. In the approximated 5,000 years of human history, there have been over 14,000 wars. It's a lot of war. It's a lot of bloodshed. That's a lot of lives that have been lost. Let me read some statistics to you here. In the War for Independence, there were 25,324 Americans killed. In the War of 1812, 2,260 were killed. In the Civil War, in the Northern Army, 363,020 people were killed. In the Confederate side, there were 199,110 people killed. In the Spanish-American War, over 3,000 Americans killed. World War I, 116,708 Americans killed. World War II, 408,306 Americans killed. The Korean War, 54,246 Americans killed. In the Vietnam War, over 58,219 Americans killed. It's a lot of bloodshed, isn't there? That's a lot of war. That's a lot of turmoil. That's a lot of things that that mankind had to go into. And those numbers I just read you were just American lives. Not the other lives. War is deadly. In a room of people like we have here today, if we went around the room, we could each probably mention a loved one's name who was killed in war or a way in which we have been personally affected by war. War is a real thing. And in many nations around the world, war is not something that just comes every couple of generations. It's something they wake up to every single day. It's constantly on their mind. It's something that when they wake up that day, they wonder if they're going to have a bomb drop on their house. We're all the time hearing about the Middle East and rockets being fired here and gunfights going on in this place and how this place invaded here and all of that. We as Americans are spoiled. Now, I understand that, of course, America's defense system and all of that. Yes, we have a great defense system and those types of things. But just because someone is not coming into our nation from another nation killing people with a gun does not mean America's not under attack. You know, the largest way in which America has seen attacks in the last 20 years has been cyber attacks. It hasn't taken a life, but it has the potential of shutting things off. We're also in a war. So what does the Bible say about this? If war is a real thing, then what does the Bible say? What do we need to know about going to war? What do we need to know about our government and things like that? Well, first of all is this: government is ordained by God. You know, God instituted three forms of government. And as you study the Bible, you're going to find that He created the home, He created the church, and He created the human government. Those three things are ordained by God. If you look back in Genesis chapter 9 and verse 6, I'll turn there quickly here. Genesis chapter 9 and verse 6, the Bible says this. It says, "Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God made he man." So a lot of people will say things like this. Well, Genesis 9, 6 says that if you shed a man's blood, then your blood has to be shed. And we'll get into some differences here in just a moment. But there is a difference between killing and murder. There's a difference there. All murder is killing, but not all killing is murder. And what we're seeing here is the sin of murder. If you shed a man's blood in the way of murder, then your blood should be shed, is what the Bible says there. As long as there is sin, there will be war. There will be. And there will always be sin on this earth. Why? Because we as mankind are born into sin. We have two causes for war. One is the sin of man, and the other one is this, the wrath of God. What is ordained by God and is important for us to understand is this, that our government is ordained. And we need to have that settled in our mind, because there's always going to be those who have an anarchist spirit, but we must realize that in order to have civilized behavior, we must have a civilized government. Government's not a bad thing. Now, if the government tells us that we have to go against the word of God, of course, God is the higher power. That's who we obey. But government is not a bad thing. But mankind is sinful. I praise the Lord that we are just moments away. If we had a tragedy happen in our life, if someone was attacking us, one phone call, the police are there in moments. I appreciate that. I would appreciate it a lot more in that moment, amen. I'm not against the police. I praise the Lord for them. Of course, we had First Responder Sunday. I praise the Lord for our first responders and all of that. I will, oftentimes, I'll walk up to an officer and I'll let him know, thank you for your service. Thank you for what you do. Thank you for the sacrifices that you make. But there's many people that are against them. I love the sticker that I saw one time, and it says this: don't like our police? Don't call them. But what happens the very moment that even when someone that is against our government institution as far as the police, when they say, well, they're just out to get us and all of those things, when tragedy happens, who do they call? They call them, don't they? They're there. It's instituted by God. I praise the Lord for that freedom that we have in order to have those police to be able to help us. It is an area of freedom. You know, some people on both sides of the aisle politically would say things like this: well, this person is not my president, and I'm going to do what I want to do, and no one can boss me around. Can I tell you this? People will say, well, that's just being American. That's just being patriotic. No, it's being foolish is what that is. Because the Bible says that the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. That's what the Bible says. You know, it doesn't matter what happens in a election and those types of things. God wasn't taken by surprise in that. Yes, we as believers should do our part in voting and those types of things. We need to be good stewards of the freedoms that we have. But God's not taken by surprise. And it doesn't matter what side of the aisle you're on. Understand, whoever is placed in the office of president, if you are an American, that is your president. You don't like it? Well, there's plenty of other countries you could go to, but guess what? You're not going to be happy there either. The Lord institutes government. God ordains human government, and it's not for our detriment, but it's for our good. There in 1 Peter, as we read there just a moment ago, I'll turn back there, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 13 and 14. There to submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors as to them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do good. Notice there, we are told to submit to these leaders. Of course, in Genesis 9 and verse 6, we can see that God is speaking of shedding one's blood. And this is speaking of murder. And something we need to understand is that fact that I mentioned just a moment ago, that all murder is killing, but not all killing is murder. There are certain laws in our government that are referred to as capital punishment. There are crimes that people commit, and for those crimes, they should be put to death. This is clearly taught in the Word of God. However, many people just get a slap on the wrist and they get let go. You know, if the government is to execute a particular law and put a criminal to death, if you work for that institution where that person is to be put to death, you may be the person employed to take the life of that other person by whatever means that death penalty is. But does that make you a murderer? No, it doesn't. You're doing what you've been ordered to do by the civilized government that is determined to protect others. Same is true with police officers. You know, a police officer is there. They make a vow, if you will, to protect the ones in their jurisdiction, if you will. We have the Oxford Police Department. What is their job? To serve and protect the people of Oxford there. That is their job to do. They are there to protect us. Now, there may be two people that are going at it one way or another. There may be people that are shooting at one another and those types of things. What are the police to do? They're not supposed to just go in there and say, hey, guys, let us talk about this. And while they're just shooting at each other, no, they tried to stop the situation. Why? Because they're trying to stop people from getting hurt. Well, if a police officer, in order to protect someone else's life, they have to take another person's life, that does not make them a murderer. But that's how they're painted, isn't it? Many times a police officer is painted as a murderer. Now, I understand there are there's bad apples in every batch, and I understand that. But the truth of the matter is this. Most of our police officers, 90, I would go as far as to say 99% of police officers are there to do what they've been hired to do and what they've sworn to do. Just because they have to take someone's life does not mean that they're a murderer. Murder is the thoughtless taking of another's life without cause. We must never forget that government is ordained by God. There was a situation down in Camden, Delaware this past week. A man walks into a Red Nurse, walks up to one of the employees and shot him, killed him right there in the middle of the store. Now, they've gone about all kinds of things, about gang activity and all of those types of things. But the truth of the matter is this, the man that committed that crime is a murderer. Can I tell you this? That man still has not been caught by the police. It's amazing. But that man's a murderer. But a police officer coming and taking that man's life because he's trying to take the life of another, that police officer would not be a murderer. Well, wait a second. They both were taking lives. But one is to protect, and one is murder. The same is true in our military. In the military in America, you know, America does not start wars. What is our military where they receive their headquarters? It is called the Department of Defense. It's not the Department of Offense. No. We don't go somewhere to try to steal someone's land or something like that. No, it's the Department of Defense. Someone attacks America or they attack one of our allies. What do? We go out to defend ourselves or to defend our allies. It is the Department of defense. Look at Daniel chapter 2 and verse 19, if you will. Daniel chapter 2 and verse 19. Daniel chapter 2 verse 19. Actually, it's verse 24. I'm sorry. Daniel chapter 2 and let me see here. No, I'm sorry. It is 19 through 21. That's what it is. Daniel chapter 2, verse 19 through 21. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. Notice, he changes the times and the seasons. Notice this next phrase. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. Notice there it says that he removeth kings and setteth up kings. Many times we say, well, if this side wouldn't have done this, or if these people would have just done this, and if these people over here would have just done what they're supposed to do, then this would have never happened. No, God removeth and setteth up kings. God knows exactly what he's doing. How did America get its existence? God raised it up. God did that. America is a nation that was raised up by God, and God used it in a great way. Can I tell you this? There are many nations that have not been blessed and used by God in the way that America has. But what has America done with that? Rather than saying, God has raised us up and allowed us to be a light in this dark and dying world, what America has done instead is spat upon the name of God. That's what they've done. God has raised us up. God has given us the ability to be able to defend ourselves and be able to, in many ways, bring order even to this whole world. But the truth is this, we haven't taken advantage of that. Haven't done that. Lord, help us. God has a purpose in raising up nations. We have an all-wise and an almighty and an all-knowing God who has ordained human government. Can I just say this morning? Now, I'm from the South, and every bone in my body is filled with red, white, and blue, amen? I love America. I love our country. But the truth of the matter is this. Even though I love our country, and even though I may not agree with the leadership that is put into place, I cannot allow my feelings for my leadership to keep me from praying for them. Can't do that. You know, there's an awful lot of believers who will spend hours upon hours upon hours sitting in front of Fox News or CNN or MSNBC or whatever these other things are today, whether they're right wing or left wing or whatever, and they will spend hours soaking all of that in and getting filled with rage on the inside. And I can't believe our president would do this, and I can't believe our governor made this choice, and I can't believe that this state is doing this. And we get so filled with rage on the inside, and yet we don't whisper one prayer to God for our government. What's going to change their way of thinking? It's not us standing up on front of a building waving an American flag saying, this is what I believe. No. The heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. When's the last time we prayed for our president? When's the last time we prayed for our leadership? When's the last time we brought them before Almighty God? And when's the last time we brought our country before Almighty God? Lord, help us to know that this is ordained by him. Notice number two, God's word instructs us to submit to higher powers. We are to be submissive. We recognize that government is ordained by God, and we think, well, what are we to do? Well, the truth is this. If we read, believe, and obey the Bible like we say that we do, the Bible says that we are to be in obedience to those higher powers. We are to submit ourselves. The entire nation, every time a nation goes to war, you know what the entire nation goes to war? It's not just the few boots that we put on the ground. They're not the only ones in war. No, the whole nation is. We're all affected by war. And we are to submit to higher powers. We need to fight for what the Lord has given us, what he's blessed us with. Notice, but we need to be in obedience to God's word. Look at Romans chapter 13, if you will. Romans chapter 13 in verse 1. Romans 13 and verse 1. The Bible says, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. Every power that is put in place, God knows exactly why it's there. He knows it. He knows why it's there. It goes against every bone in my body to see a convicted criminal get released. I truthfully believe people should be held accountable for what they've done. I could raise my fist against them and cause a ruckus and all sorts of things and use what I would consider my power as an American citizen. Or I could remember that God's in control and I can only do what I can do. And it doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter what seems right in our minds. There is nothing worth losing your testimony over. Nothing at all. God is not taken by surprise. The rulers who make those decisions will answer for those things. They will. Every ruler that decides, well, we're just going to slap this murderer on the wrist and release him, they will answer for that. And we need to understand that God is still in control. During the reign of King Henry VIII, a man was convicted of murder. He was brought before the King of England, and this man, he received a full pardon. After this man was released, he went out and killed another man, and he was brought back before the king, and someone said to the king, are you going to pardon this man a second time? Of course, asking that sarcastically. The king replied this, the first man he killed, the second man I killed because I pardoned him. What was he saying? He said, I'm going to be held responsible for the second man that was killed because that man should have never been out on the streets. We are to be subject to higher powers, not in a way that goes against biblical teaching, but we are subject unto them. The Lord Jesus Christ said this, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. When they were asking about paying these taxes and all of those things, he says, whose superscription is on this coin? Well, it was Caesar. He said, then render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's and unto God that which is God's. You know, I have different family members and different people that I've known throughout the years that have tried to get away with not paying taxes and all of that. Can I tell you this? It came back to bite them. In a very hard way. There is a thing that we have to do here in America, and that is this. We have to pay our taxes. You have to. Someone says if they say they don't have to pay their taxes, they're going to end up in prison, and no matter what they try to say, it's not biblical to not pay your taxes. It's not. No, we are to be subject unto higher powers. Yes, we are to give God that which is God's. But here's something that I have found many times. The ones that are going against things like this and going against government and all of that, they're not giving God what he deserves either. They're not. Well, I'm going to church and I'm doing these sorts of things. Yeah, but you're spending more time fighting against the government than you are fighting for God. Lord, help us. Let's be subject unto higher powers, understanding that we are to follow God first, but God says we are to follow these higher powers as well. If they tell us something against the word of God, we are not to follow them. We are to follow God, but in every way possible, we must follow them because we are subject to higher powers. And then notice lastly here, going to war is sometimes a necessity. Sometimes it's a necessity. In all of the Bible, we find that sometimes it is necessary to go to war. In John chapter 18, John 18 and verse 36, John 18 and verse 36, the Bible says this, Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. What was going on here? Well, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was being put on trial here. He was brought before Pilate, and he said, look, he said, my kingdom is not here. If my kingdom was here, then my servants would be fighting for me and those things. But that's not what's happening here. The Lord Jesus Christ in this passage, he was, of course, talking about his crucifixion and Pilate's response to it and all of that. But he was declaring to us the principle concerning what God does in the affairs of nations. There is going to be wars. The Bible says in the end time, there's going to be rumors of wars. Well, that's something we hear today, isn't there? Isn't it amazing how it seems like every single day you turn on the news and you hear another rumor of war happening? It just happens over and over and over again. Luke chapter 22, Luke chapter 22, verse 35 and 36. Some people will say, well, it's never right to take another person's life. Well, that's where we go back to the difference between killing and murder and how all murder is killing, but not all killing is murder. But notice what God says in this passage here. Now, a sword is not known as if someone goes out to buy a sword. Of course, now people use them for collector's items and all that, all those types of things. But it used to be when someone went and got a sword, they did not buy that for the purpose of hunting. They did not buy a sword for the purpose of just carrying around in case they need to whittle a stick down or something like that. No, they bought it for one reason, that was defense. That's why they bought a sword. So look what the Lord Jesus Christ says here in Luke chapter 22 and verse 35 and verse 36. Notice, then said he unto them, but now he that hath a purse, let him take it, and likewise his scrip, and he that hath no sword, notice, let him sell his garment and what? Buy one. Buy a sword. Notice verse 35, and he said unto them, when I sent you without purse and scrip and shoes, lacked ye anything? No. And then he goes down through there and he says, but if you have a garment, you don't have a sword, sell your garment and buy one. Some people would say, well, that's all fine and good, but it doesn't teach that it's okay to go to war. The Lord says this, go and buy a sword. Why? For defense. You need to be able to defend yourself. If there is, if someone breaks into your house, I would hope that the man of the house would do all he could to defend his family. He's not going to say, well, here's my family, just don't hurt me. No, he wouldn't do that at all. I can guarantee you this, that if someone broke into the house, I would use deadly force. There is sheetrock that can be replaced, amen. There will be deadly force. Why? Because I'm told to protect my family, and I will do that at all costs. And in protecting my family, if it takes the life of another, that does not mean that I'm a murderer. You know, going to war is not something that we enjoy, but it is a demand that is placed upon nations from time to time in their existence. Nations are called to defend themselves. You know, war is something also that God uses in his judgment of a nation as well. And we won't turn there for time's sake, but in Ezekiel chapter 14 and verse 21, it talks about this principle. All throughout the Old Testament, you read, of course, of God telling his people to go in and to take a nation by storm, to go in there and to take this land and the promised land and those types of things. But there's also times in which God sent nations to start a war with Israel. And he did that because of Israel's sin. It was because of God's judgment on them. We don't, of course, have any right to choose which wars are God's judgments and which ones are defense and all of those things. No, only God knows those things. But I can't help but believe that some of the things that America has been involved in has been because of the judgment of God. Because of the way that America has turned against God. There are times when others commit evil acts toward us, and God will execute judgment on that evil, and he could use another nation to execute judgment with the sword, or he could use the nation that was attacked. Either way, but going to war is sometimes the necessity of a nation. You know, there are some that, of course, their argument for not going to war is something like this. Well, if you go to war, there's going to be innocent children that are killed. And I understand exactly what they're saying. I understand that truth that they're talking about there. But the truth of the matter is this. The nation that is defending themselves going to war in another nation, they're doing what God has told them to do. And the lives that are lost during that time. Now, we should not just go in and just because a nation attacked us, you just go in and kill everybody. That's not what I'm saying here. No, there needs to be planned and all of those things. And I believe our government does a great job with that. But there's a couple of aspects to this. First of all, that nation is paying the consequences for what they've done. And that blood is on their hands. But then also these innocent children that we're talking about as well, a hard truth to understand, and I understand that, is this, that as you study the Bible, you're going to find the principle of an age of accountability. What that age is, I don't know. But when a person gets to the point in their mind where they understand that they're a sinner, and they realize that they need to trust Christ as their personal Savior, at that point, if they don't trust Christ, if they were to die, they would go to hell. I don't know what age that is. But before that age, if they were to die, they're going to be in heaven. Why? Because they're not held accountable because they don't know. A baby that dies in the mother's womb, they're not sentenced to hell. That wouldn't be a just God, would it? There's many teachings that we can go through on that, and we may get into that through this study here. But the truth of the matter is this. We can come up with all kinds of excuses in our mind, but going to war, there is a right way and a wrong way. And we need to know that the Bible says that there is times in which war is necessary. Let's pray for our military. I understand there are things that sometimes our military will be told to do that they may not completely agree with. Let's pray for our military. Pray for our leaders. Pray for our nation. And let's understand we are to be subject to higher powers. And the Bible does say things about war. Let's pray for our nation often. Amen.